The Bluest Eye, Song of Solomon. Toni Morrison is one of the most banned authors in the country right now. She is also the only Black woman to win the Nobel Prize in Literature. Before Morrison died in 2019, she taught at Princeton. And to commemorate the 30th anniversary of her Nobel win, Princeton has opened the doors to her archives with a new exhibit. NPR's Neda Ulaby paid a visit.
When Toni Morrison came here to teach literature in the 1980s, she was one of the first two African-American women ever hired as Princeton faculty. Now there's a building on campus named after her. That's where Autumn Womack works. She's a professor who curated this exhibition from Toni Morrison's archives.
This is the first time that most of this material has been displayed.
I have to be able to make mistakes and not know that they're mistakes.
The material from Morrison's archives includes diary entries, unreleased recordings, and drafts of novels, such as Sula and Beloved. But what you see when you walk into the exhibition are pages and pages that are waterlogged, smeared, and partly burnt.
Oh, this more. Is
hard. Yeah. So these are the fire-singed pieces from the house fire.
Womack says Morrison's house accidentally burned down in 1993, the same year she won the Nobel Prize. A team of archivists saved Morrison's work. They wrapped every surviving page in Mylar. Scholars are grateful for the letters and lists and materials dating back to when the author was a girl in Ohio named Chloe Ardelia Wofford.
There's material where you see her playing around with her name. There's Chloe Wofford, Toni Wofford, and then we get Toni Morrison.
Toni Morrison scholars came to Princeton recently to discuss her life and work. Some noted what it means for Princeton to have this archive rather than Howard, the historically Black university where Morrison went to college. The archive is filled with treasures. Princeton professor Kanohi Nishikawa co-organized this conference. He points to documentation of an argument between Morrison and renowned opera director Peter Sellers. She defended the Shakespeare play Othello. He found it irrelevant. So she wrote an opera called Desdemona. Sellers wound up directing.
I exist in between now, between being killed and being undead.
It was called Desdemona. By the time you come out, you don't even think of it as an adaptation of Othello. It's its own thing with its own sound and its own lyrical voice.
A revelation of this new exhibition is Toni Morrison's connection to theater. She starred in plays at Howard and wrote screenplay adaptations of some of her own novels. To honor her Nobel anniversary, the MacArthur Theater Center at Princeton commissioned performers to create works on Toni Morrison's archives.
Dear Miss Morrison, the kitchen doors shut. They send us away. Shoo, shoo, shoo.
That's Daniel shoo. Alexander Jones, a Guggenheim-winning theater artist.
Whoa, it blew my mind.
Diving into the archives of one of the best writers in U.S. history was enthralling but intimidating, Jones says. Imagine having Toni Morrison's voice in your ear as you write musical theater to honor her.
You know you can do better. You know you can dig deeper. You know that's not the right word. You know you can think in a more complicated way about that idea.
Jones is not surprised that some of Toni Morrison's most celebrated novels are now banned from libraries and schools in Florida, Virginia, Utah, Texas, and Missouri. These books, he says, speak to division, incivility, and rage.
She gave us codes and keys to deal with everything we are facing right now. And if you go back, you will receive them. There are answers there.
Did you find an answer?
Many. I found many answers. And chief among them, this question of how we take the venom of this time and transmute it.
Transmute it into medicine.
Language can never live up to life once and for all, nor should it.
In her Nobel Prize speech from 1993, Toni Morrison said language cannot express human pain, racism, or war. Its force, she said, is in its reach.
Be it grand or slender, borrowing, blasting, or refusing to sanctify.
They are words for our time. They always were.
Unmolested language surges toward knowledge, not its destruction.
Neda Ulaby, NPR News.